walks in, slightly out of breath, carrying a travel mug. Day trip, who? I once gave this lecture from the back of a moving bus in Portugal. Long story. Involved a missed train and a very patient driver. Let's keep you stimulated. Sets down the mug. Today we're going to talk about a word that gets thrown around constantly, usually incorrectly. Information. People talk about information like it's a substance. Like it's a kind of stuff. The information is stored in the computer. The information flows through the network. The DNA contains information. This language is convenient, but it's misleading. Information isn't a thing. It's a relationship. Leans on the podium. Here's what information actually is. It's the relationship between possible states, actual states, and the constraints that connect them. Let me make that concrete. Imagine a light switch. It can be up or down. Two possible states. Now, if I tell you the switch is up, you've received information. Why? Because you can now rule out one of the possibilities. Before, it could have been either. Now, you know which one it is. That's information. The reduction of possibility. The ruling out of alternatives. A system has information only insofar as its current state tells you something about what it can do next. Only insofar as the present constrains the future in a reliable way. If a system could do anything regardless of its current state, it would contain no information. It would be noise. Starts pacing. Now, here's the key insight for today. Any organization that has to persist, that has to survive noise, disturbance, error, and the passage of time is forced to process information. Not as a choice. Not as an upgrade. As a structural necessity. Think about what survival requires. You have to detect when something's wrong. That means distinguishing the current state from the desired state. That's information processing. You have to tell the difference between a real signal and random noise. That's information processing. You have to respond selectively, do this when that happens, not just react the same way to everything. That's information processing. Any system that doesn't do these things gets overwhelmed. It can't maintain itself. It falls apart. Stops, turns to the class. Here's something that might surprise you. Computation doesn't require computers. We tend to think of computation as something that happens in silicon chips. Transistors flipping. Electrons moving through circuits. But computation, at its core, is just this, the transformation of constrained states according to rules that preserve meaning. That's it. That's all computation is. And that can happen anywhere. Gestures expansively. A chemical network computes. Concentrations of molecules encode states. Chemical reactions implement transitions. The outcome of one reaction biases the next. When your cells regulate their internal chemistry, adjusting pH, controlling ion concentrations, activating or suppressing genes, they're computing. No silicon involved. A mechanical system computes. The governor on a steam engine, that spinning ball thing you've seen in old machinery, computes. The position of the balls encodes how fast the engine is running. The mechanical feedback adjusts the throttle. It's a calculation, implemented in brass and iron. Your thermostat computes. Temperature encodes the state. The mechanism compares it to a set point. The output controls the heater. Computation appears wherever survival requires discrimination and response. It's not about the substrate. It's about the structure. Sit on the desk. Now, why isn't simple reaction enough? Imagine a system that only responds to the present moment. Something happens, it reacts. No memory. No anticipation. Just stimulus and response. That works okay if disturbances are simple and isolated. One thing happens, you react, done. But the real world isn't like that. Disturbances overlap. multiple things happen at once, and they interact. Delays matter. By the time you've reacted to one thing, something else has changed. Sometimes correction needs to be anticipatory. You need to start responding before the problem fully manifests, or it's too late. Purely reactive systems get overwhelmed. They're always behind. They can't handle complexity. To survive in a complex environment, you need to incorporate information from the past to shape responses in the future. That's prediction, not fortune-telling. Just using what happened to anticipate what might happen. Leans forward. This is why memory becomes necessary. Last chapter, we talked about memory as a residue, a side effect of irreversibility. The structure remembers because it can't forget. Now we're seeing memory as a function. Something the system does on purpose because it helps. To avoid repeating failures, you have to remember what failed. To respond appropriately to patterns, you have to recognize that you've seen them before. To maintain stability over time, you have to track where you've been. Memory is the cheapest solution to a structural problem. Holds up a hand. But here's the thing. Perfect memory is unnecessary. In fact, too much memory is destabilizing. If you remembered everything, every single state, every single event, every single fluctuation, you'd be overwhelmed. You couldn't distinguish important from trivial. You couldn't generalize. Every new situation would be completely novel because you'd be tracking infinite irrelevant details. What survives is just enough memory. Enough to avoid repeated failures. Enough to recognize important patterns. Not so much that you drown in your own history. This is another filter. Systems with too little memory can't learn from the past. Systems with too much memory can't function in the present. What persists is the balance. Stands up, energy rising. Now, as organization deepens, there's a threshold that gets crossed. At some point, error accumulates faster than it can be avoided. Think about a complex system with many parts, many interactions, many processes running simultaneously. Every process has some small error rate. Every interaction has some small chance of going wrong. When you have enough parts and enough interactions, errors are guaranteed. Not possible, guaranteed. The math is relentless. At this point, error correction becomes unavoidable. Not optional. Not an upgrade. The price of admission. Paces. What does error correction look like? It detects inconsistency. This doesn't match what it should be. It restores acceptable states. Let's get back to something that works. It limits propagation. This part is broken, but let's keep the damage from spreading. Notice what error correction doesn't do. It doesn't aim for perfection. It doesn't try to eliminate all error. It can't, error is guaranteed. It aims for survival. It's damage control. It keeps the system functional despite the inevitable mistakes. This is not optimization. This is triage. Stops at the window. Now, here's something important that people forget. Information is not free. We talk about information so abstractly that we forget it has to be physical. It has to be stored somewhere. It has to be processed somehow. Storing information requires physical structure. Molecules arranged in particular ways. Connections maintained. That takes energy. That introduces fragility. Things that store information can be damaged. Processing information adds delay. It takes time to detect, compare, respond. Processing adds failure modes, the processing itself can go wrong. Processing increases complexity, which increases the surface area for error. Every bit of information a system maintains is a cost. So what survives? Only information that pays for itself. Only information that improves survivability enough to justify the cost of keeping it. Everything else gets eliminated. Not by a decision. By the filter. Systems that carry too much useless information are burdened. They are slower, They're more fragile. They don't persist. Turns back to the class. Here's where it gets really interesting. At first, information just stabilizes structure. It helps the system maintain itself. It's defensive. But at some point, information starts to shape structure. Systems begin to reorganize themselves to process information better. They develop structures that improve discrimination, that tell signal from noise more effectively. They shorten response loops so they can react faster. They isolate failures so damage doesn't spread. Information is no longer passive. It's not just something the system has. It's something the system is organized around. The architecture changes to serve information flow. This is a profound transition. Structure used to shape information processing. Now information processing shapes structure. Sits back down. I want to emphasize something. Nothing we've talked about today violates physics. Not one thing. Information processing respects conservation laws. It obeys locality. It incurs energetic costs, there's no free computation. We haven't added any new principles. We're still watching elimination operate. The same filter we've been talking about all semester. It's just that now, elimination is operating on ways of handling history. On information processing strategies. On memory systems. The systems that process information badly don't persist. The ones that process it well enough, not optimally, just well enough, survive. Same logic. Higher level. New structures. Gathers notes. All right. We've established that information processing is unavoidable. That computation is structural, not metaphorical. That memory is required for persistence. But we've been talking about information in individual systems. One organization maintaining itself. What happens when information starts to replicate? When the pattern doesn't just persist, it copies itself. That changes everything. That's where life comes from. But that's next week. Raises the travel mug. The closing line from your reading is perfect. Stable systems process information because ignorance is fragile. Think about that. It's not that knowledge is power. It's that ignorance is death. Systems that can't discriminate, can't respond, can't learn from the past, they don't make it. Information processing isn't a luxury. It's the minimum viable strategy for persistence. Enjoy your day trip. Look out the window. Everything you see, every tree, every bird, every cloud pattern is a system that figured out how to process information well enough to still be here. Including you. See you next week.